Man, I am recovering. That's where I'm at right now. I'm still, yesterday was a lot better. Today, down again. So to catch up the listener, I play dodgeball now. And it's fucking fun. It's fucking amazing.
This is my personality now.
This is just what I do. For a little while, I'm going to pause. On Monday, which is the day I play dodgeball, I had an excellent time, but I did get hit in the face with a fastball, like really hard.
Life moves at you pretty fast.
Directly, didn't even see it coming. It was out of nowhere. It was just
thunk.
Yep, that was that was the sound effect. Yeah.
How hard, please, is a dodgeball?
Oh, very soft, actually.
Yeah, are they not foam?
They're not foam. They're a rubber inflatable ball,
right?
But it's like a soft rubber. It's pleasant to feel, and they're like 3/4 inflated, so they're pretty squeezy. It's not full pressure, so you know, thankfully in that regard.
There is a bit of pliance would not be the right word, but yes, there is a bit of
But you know, it also, like, instead of just hitting a point on my head, it envelops my head. Mm-hmm. Like, so my whole face got hit. And it was like sunburn. after the shot, you know, I just like kind of took a couple steps back. I was like, oh boy. Please nobody.
Little tweety birds when around your head.
Yes. I had dodgeballs flying around. And thankfully, when you get hit in the head, you're not out. That's our league rules. That it's you don't get out for headshots to help avoid people aim lower than the head, and you're trying not to get people in the head.
Oh, okay.
They're actually even considering a rule of if you hit somebody in the head, the thrower is out.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, I'm not against that. now experiencing a headshot.
Not the face, man.
Holy moly. So what happened right then, though, immediately, is that my body was like, we're under attack.
Yeah.
And
full fight
mode. I don't often go into fight mode. But,
fighty Brandon.
no more Mr. Fawn. And I came out raging, and it was fucking fun, dude. Holy shit, what a drug. Oh, I love that drug. Gimme. So I was fucking taunting people, and I was getting people out, and like one of my teammates was like, dude, you're on fire tonight. I'm like, yeah, I am. And I told you this earlier, but like I had this one awesome play where the other team was kind of close to the line. Usually, like, you know, their team comes forward towards the center line and our team goes back, and then they'll have 4 balls and we'll have 3 balls, and you have a time limit. If you have the majority of balls, you have to throw within 10 seconds. So, you know, when they have 4, they come forward, so they're closer and more accurate, and we go back so we can, you know, kind of dodge, and then they throw and we have 4 balls, and then we go forward and they go back. And so it's back and forth, always around the same distance from each other, about like 15 feet like or so. And I, you know, on my adrenaline high, I had a ball and I was kind of like getting forward, getting closer to them and pump faking so that, you know, if they thought that they could throw, that they would be vulnerable and I could immediately pelt them with a ball. So it's trying to like psych them out so that they don't throw in time. Therefore, they have to relinquish all of their balls if they miss the timer, which did happen on an occasion. And it was really interesting because then they have 9 balls and they throw almost all of them and they're bound to get people out. So I'm pump faking and I decide to just go for it. And I throw a ball and I hit a guy and it gets him out. And then his teammate immediately throws at me because I'm vulnerable now, for having thrown the ball and without something I can block a ball with, and I catch it. And when you catch a ball, the person who threw it is out. And on my team, I get somebody in. So I got somebody in, I got 2 people out in a row. And then since I have a ball again and I'm already up at the front, I'm like, fuck it, might as well throw it again. Threw it, got another guy out. And then I was vulnerable again, and they threw somebody else threw another ball, and I fucking caught it. And I was like, it was like within 10 seconds, I got four people out and two people back on my team. And I was like, holy shit, it's fucking orgasm. And then I had to back off. I was like, okay, that's getting a bit too high. I gotta cool my jets a bit here. And yeah, so it was fucking amazing. Had a blast. God, I love it so much.
I like, from what I understand in D&D, there is a spell or a something that you can wind up with if you are the right class, where if you take damage, you suddenly become like super powerful. Mm. And you can absolutely go ham on people. And so I like that. This also exists in real life.
I'm not familiar enough with the class types, but that sounds familiar. I've seen that used before, and yeah, it felt exactly like that. Oh, Berserker Rage is kind of like what that is too.
It's similar to that. Yes.
Yeah.
But it like it has to be set off by you taking a taking a ball to the face, which is what she said. So that is magnificent.
So typically after dodgeball, we go around the corner to Pizza Thief, who is a sponsor of the season or the group, and we get a discount there for their pizza, which is delicious. And we hang out and we chat and stuff because there's not a really good time to do that while we're pelting each other with balls. Mm. And it's a really good time to hang out.
So you're on teams. What's the team situation here? Are you hanging out with another team in the league, or are you just hanging out with your team, or are you like you've just subdivided within your own teams to play each other?
So when we're playing, we're set up in teams. Yeah. And then when we go hang out at Pizza Thief, it's a mingle of whoever decides to show up.
Okay, so a bunch of you show up at the beginning, and then you divide off into teams rather than
and we're all like an exhibition. It's a really friendly league.
Yeah,
everybody knows. And like there between seasons, there's free play, which I did a couple days before I started the season, and like we're mixing who's on what team all the time, and it's just kind of fun and everything. And then like when the season starts, there's a draft by the captains, and like I'm not a part of that process, but each season there's a new draft, and so the teams get mixed up each season, and there's not like big rivalries or anything like that. There's just it's just really the first rule, I think, is, well, not to talk about it. Shit, fuck, I brought the second rule too. The third rule is to have fun. So
yes.
It's all good times. Fourth rule, don't hit somebody else in the face.
Yep.
But, whatever. Yep. So, I typically would go to Pizza Thief, and I think I mentioned that before, is like, I'm trying to fight my introversion and get out and actually talk to people. And I've been doing that, and it's been great. I've been very welcomed. It's been super fun. But this time I just walked straight to my car. I was like, okay, I'm stumbling to my car almost. And kind of like, I know I don't have the energy in me to social. And so, yeah. And I go home, get home. And yeah, that night pretty much crashed. Margaret and I kind of had a little bit of plans, but that didn't happen because I was just wasted. And then the next day, nothing. I had nothing. I could barely sit. Standing was astonishingly hard, and so I went and then our podcast recording was interrupted, and I had to go help my buddy Carl with some car troubles. And luckily, the majority of the work that I needed to do to help him with car troubles was sit in my car and watch Game Changer, because I don't know dick about cars, and there's only room for one person under the car anyway, so.
And he was there the whole time.
Nice. Do you know, trivia for you, what is the only episode where Sam says something different at the beginning of the episode?
I feel like that was recent.
Then my trivia question might be bogus because I haven't watched all the episodes.
Oh, okay. I feel like they did it recently. But the only one I'm going to say is the end of last season, okay, where they did the catfish.
Oh, nice.
Game. Well, because they were all in separate rooms, and I don't even know if Sam was even talking. I think he appeared as a chatbot.
Oh, funny. Well, he had a different catchphrase, and actually, so this fun little trivia question was completely not bogus, but not thought through. And I just noticed it was either episode 2 or 3.
Okay.
But he just, I think it was episode 2. He just said something. He just used a different catchphrase, and then episode 3, he goes back to the other catchphrase, and then it seems like he just decided to keep it.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, it was good times.
There are a few episodes that I have not seen because they were. So I was munching on through them, and then I got to the lockdown season.
Yeah,
and I was just like, I'll come back to it. You know, like there's lots of other things I can watch on the Dropout streaming service.
Yeah,
I'll come back to that one. So yeah,
I'm sure. I think I've still got far their lowest view count season.
Yeah,
yeah. It's cute they tried.
Yeah, thank God they did. Yes, I'm very grateful the Dropout exists. And I think I've probably got a game changer in hand. I think there may be one that I've not seen yet. So I will look forward to watching that. But I cannot do anything or watch anything that isn't The Pit right now.
The Pit. Tell me about The Pit. Is it an armpit? Is it an apricot pit?
It's spelt pit like the Brad.
Okay.
And it is a...
It took me a second.
Yep. You got this. You got it.
I don't know.
it's as in Pittsburgh, because it's a hospital in Pittsburgh.
It's always sunny there, I hear.
at least in one of the... Hang on. Pittsburgh is... Yes, it's. We don't know if it's always sunny in Pennsylvania. We do know it's always sunny in Philadelphia.
This is what I told you. I'm not with it.
But we don't know if it's sunny in
It wasn't
in
even a good joke, and I got it wrong.
I out Americaned you.
Yeah. I was like, wait, hold on a sec.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Every now and again, like I'll do the, you know, me or someone else when we're bored, we'll do the game of like trying to name American states, and we'll do a bunch, and then we're like, no, those are cities.
Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Georgia, blah blah, Hawaii, Idaho, Illinois, Indiana.
No, you can't blah blah. You can't blah blah.
I don't remember it.
You just gave short shrift to somewhere.
Sorry, you're not important.
Somewhere between Connecticut and Hawaii, there was a blah blah. We got Delaware. Delaware, yep. We got, and then there was a blah blah.
Georgia, Hawaii, Idaho, Illinois, no, that was afterwards. Yeah. It was after Georgia. I don't know. Anyways, carry on.
Illinois, yeah.
The Pit.
In The Pit. So it's set in the emergency room of a hospital in Pittsburgh, and it stars. Someone apparently from ER. So I've never really seen ER. But George, it stars Noah Wiley.
Oh, yeah, I like him. He's
and he has some, I think he has, like, he's written one or two episodes, and like he's sort of involved in the show.
Well, it's typecast, so he has to be.
Yeah. It is up there in terms of the best TV shows I've ever seen.
Wow.
There are shows that I hold dear that are not necessarily like the best shows,
sure.
But then there are other shows where you're like, objectively, this is art. You know, you look at Severance, and that's just art. This thing, sure. There's so many times where I'm sat there just going, this fucking show, man, this fucking show. I was crying yesterday with a scene, and there's just a lot of other scenes where you just go, that was just so well executed. That this one character who is, she's not quote unquote officially labeled as autistic, but you learn more about her, and like I love this woman. She's just so wonderful and caring and trying so hard, and it's, she plays it so well, and the character's written so well. Oh god. And it's in real time. So
oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Like like so adolescence?
No, not in the sense that it's a one shot.
Okay.
So they do cut, but it's, you know, more in the sense of 24.
24. Gotcha.
Yeah. Because I think that's fine. Because I was kind of relieved that they didn't do that, because it's like, it's a lovely thing when people do the one shot, but like, let's keep it for special.
Sure. Yeah.
Let's not overuse it as a trope. But it is. I'm so grateful that I've still got more to go. There's something like 15 episodes, and I think, you know, the idea is this is like a typical shift, and it's trying to be as realistic as possible in terms of these are the demands on an emergency room, in a you know, standard hospital. I mean, you know, one of the things I that was picked up yesterday in the episode, which was just super lovely, and you know, obviously, like, it's very well conceived in that through a 15-hour shift, the variants of people that come through allow you to tell interesting stories. But it's not necessarily like the kind of show where, like, it's, you know, you're going to follow one story per episode. There are some patients that you followed their whole story for like five or six episodes. But there's one dude who turned up who is the character was essentially the ambulance service before the ambulance service existed. So apparently in Pittsburgh, that's where 911 and the emergency service, emergency ambulance service started. And it started as a volunteer thing. And it was a bunch of black guys. It was a bunch of black guys doing it. And then what happened is it caught on and it got funded, and then white guys got trained. But basically it was these group of black guys. And I think some of them had been maybe in the army or elsewhere. And you know, they got trained up with basic EMT training. And they went out and they picked people up, because otherwise it was just like a police car might pick you up if you're lucky. This character was like, he's now, you know, however old he is, probably in his 80s, and he's got dementia, but he's not so far gone that it's, you know, and so he's there to, and it's just, oh, it's wonderful. But there are so many little storylines, so many wonderful things. It is remarkable.
Wow.
I really, and it, you know, the ratings are bearing it out in terms of like star ratings and stuff. I hope they stick the landing. I'm sure they will. It's one of the best things I've ever seen.
Wow. High praise.
And you watch a lot. Available here in the UK.
Is this first season? Is that where we're at?
Yeah. Just the one season. So far, it only came out a few months ago.
Nice.
I do not understand why it is not available.
Do you know what it? It doesn't matter. I'll look it up.
It's on Max.
Show. I don't have that.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, speaking of black guys starting something cool and white guys stealing it, and speaking of stuff that we've watched recently, Sinners.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I want to talk about that.
Let's get into it.
Let's go. So I recommended that Brendan go and watch Sinners. And I should like to know what you thought.
I enjoyed it. Enjoyed it very much. The music was spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
The vampires.
Fucking spoiler.
Oh, oops. I was just watching, you know, the Make Some Noise episodes of Game Changers. I'm like, since we're on it. All over the place. Sinners.
Yeah.
My thoughts.
Yeah. In no particular order.
Yeah. I so much like all of the parts outside of the gory vampire stuff. And that and that part felt like such a distraction. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, okay. I guess we got to do that. We got to fulfill this storyline too. but like the dynamics and the music and the relationships and the complexities, like all that part was really fun and fascinating for me. Mm-hmm. Especially the two big musical numbers, the burning down the house one, where they go through the different generations of music and past and future, and like.
Yeah. Oh, magical realism. God,
that was just beautiful.
Yeah. And then there's a one shot for you.
Yeah.
The moment where a dude turns up and he's dressed in like futuristic, like he's got this triangular guitar and he's dressed in all futuristic clothes. And then you've got, you know, people, if I remember rightly anyway, like people beating drums and it's like past, present and future. Wonderful. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. They pan up to the roof and it's like,
yes,
symbolically burning, or, you know, it's like a call to the future. And, there's this scream. Like, I don't know if it's Preacher Boy that's screaming or somebody is like vocalizing for a longer note than you're expecting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And then they pan back down and continue the scene. If the scene's over, we're going to go to something else. And then they continue it. And I was like, oh, yes, more. That was fantastic.
I agonized over, or certainly wrestled with when I was chatting to my friend Aisha about this, because she, like, much like I'm like my whole personality now, and anything I want to talk about, I will be taking no questions other than about the pit. She was like, I will take no questions other than to talk about Sinners.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I was trying to express rather clumsily, and she helped me with, was watching the people in the Duke joint getting their dance on and that scene, but also subsequent or sort of around those scenes. The best way I can put it, which she helped me understand, is just as the film is transcending and messing around with the borders of time,
yeah,
it's doing that with race as well, in a way that the barriers feel incredibly permeable. I think that's the right word for it. Porous. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what it would have been like to have been an ethnic minority, whether it was black, whether it was Chinese, in that time. Yeah. But I felt it. Like, I can't express it in any other way other than I was like, how generous a film this is that let me feel that brought me in, that didn't hold me at arm's length to be like, no, this is our shit. Like, you wouldn't understand. It's like, no, you like come in and look and watch and listen and taste and smell and everything. It brought me in and I felt in it in a way that, like, you know, I love films like Get Out, and then you've got films like Us, which, you know, there are levels to that only some of which I understand, that are a bit more like, no, like, you need to kind of watch this a little bit, like, this isn't fully yours.
Sure.
But this felt generous in that way to be like, no, come in. We're going to talk about how white people fucked a bunch of shit up, but, like, right now, this is joyous, and you get it. And that felt incredible. And I was very conscious of that as I was watching it. And I thought, that is remarkable.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I hadn't really thought about that consciously, but I felt it as well. The vampires felt like it was explicitly an analogy. Like it was telling, you know, they're telling a story and they're using vampires as the symbol.
Mm-hmm.
What did you take away as the symbol, if any, what it was representing?
I'm not very good at that stuff. I can talk about feelings and I talk about that stuff, but for me, you know, there's cultural invasion as opposed to appropriation, maybe. But there was an interesting play with appropriation, because you've got different cultures who are all doing this amazing Irish jig.
Yeah, that was another beautiful scene.
Yeah, it was. And it's interesting that, yes, the original, the OG vampires are white guys, and there is...
HFK members.
Yeah. I mean, there was the whole, which I didn't quite... I hadn't connected, just because it's just a visual thing and stuff.
Sure.
With the visit to that sort of outpost house and the talk with the Native American, like the that stuff. Like I hadn't quite connected that, but yeah, you've got that sort of cultural, like white people invading this space, and you know it starts off with like, can we come in? We want to play, and it's like, no, this is our shit. This is our music, and you can't come in.
Yeah.
And I like so I when I'd gone in, I'd had a sense that there was a vampire thing about it because I'd just seen like a Google autocomplete, like something along the lines of is Sinners a vampire film or something, and I was like, okay, mm-hmm. so that's all I know. And I'm glad I'm glad I knew that much. I don't know. But because there's an incredible, almost blink it and you'll miss it moment where the girl, who is, and it's interesting that you've got this girl who is mixed race.
Yeah.
Who is the one who gets took, she's the one who, what gets bit, which is interesting. And that's like, that's kind of as far as my brain can go. Like I can look at things and I can go, that happened.
That's
and, you know, but, mm-hmm. but whether I'm going to draw inferences from them, I don't know. But it was the moment where the guy leaps into the air before, cause you never see her getting turned, but you see, and it's so great. It's like less than half a second of him leaping into the air, and then it's bam into some more music.
Yeah.
And then she turns up on the door, and I almost like, I got so excited when she just turned up at the door and was like, are you going to let me in or what? And I was like, she's doing the vampire thing. She's doing the vampire thing. You have to let her in. Yeah. And I was so excited. I was like, I love that. It was so well done. Of like,
it wasn't this.
Let me in. Are you going to let me in or what? I love that. I love that's how they did it. Like when we talked about Heretic, and like there's so many of these little snacks. You know, these little. Yes. Oh, we can talk about this and we can munch on this for a bit. Like the film was just full of those. So yeah,
I agree.
Oh, more. Give me more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Margaret and I had a great. Because we watched it together, we had a great talk about like what we kind of thought. I can't remember what her. She had an excellent examination of what she thought the vampires represented.
Mm-hmm.
The one that I took away from it is a bit like the. I think what we kind of landed on was like the people that lose themselves in society. The people like the drug users and the addicts and the kind of the quote low lifes or whatever,
social sort of castaways,
and they're like trying to bring others into their downfall kind of thing, and they get ruined for life or whatever, and it was also, it's an ego death, and then it's a rebirth, you're born again. And so that's really fascinating. And there's interesting things to dig in with there, but I don't either have the broader social web to make the connections on how well it all represents other things.
Yeah,
but my mind is like, it feels like this represents something, and I want to know. I want to figure it out.
And I think you could watch interviews, you could read. I'm sure Wikipedia's got it all. Like if you were so inclined, as I think my friend Aisha has done, she's delved into it all. And I rarely do that with films for whatever reason. Like sometimes I'm into the behind the scenes of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I got into a thing at the moment because I'm watching The Last of Us TV series, which is also very, very good, and might be... Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's very, very, very good. And I've also been playing the first game, which has been remastered.
Mm.
And, like, I want to watch some videos about how they made the game engine. Like, yeah, I could look at some mocap. I don't really want to... I know they did the mocap. I know it's a bunch of people with tennis balls. That's fine. Like, I want to know, like, how... When I move in an awkward way, like in every other game, a bit of my leg will just disappear into the wall. Like,
sure.
Like that's just what happens in games. But they've got so much physics understanding, and they've done so much detailed modeling of the characters that mm-hmm. they crumple up and interact with a wall in a proper way. Like, I want to know how they do that. You know, it's that kind of stuff. I'm interested in digging into that, but... I'm happy to live in some level of ignorance and to let the easy stuff trickle down.
Sure, sure, sure.
But there will be so many other fruits that are up there for the picking. And it's like, some of us might need a little ladder to get up there, but once we get that little ladder, we're like, oh my God, I hadn't realized how many fruits were up here. And that's, you know, that can be fun. It's like, I hadn't realized, like, I'd got the Matrix. It took me a while, actually. I think it doesn't matter. Like, maybe I'm just dumb, but it took me a while to understand what was happening in the Matrix, like few watches. And then I had a mate at university who was big into the Matrix, and she was telling me about the naming of the characters and how why Tom is Thomas, Mr. Anderson is called Thomas because he's doubting Thomas, and then like the significance of all these different names, and it's like, okay, there's even more, you know, there's layers upon layers upon layers, and it's wonderful.
Super lore, yeah,
yeah.
Michael B. Jordan opposite Michael B. Jordan, what a double performance.
Michael B. Acting, Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah.
Is that racist? I don't know.
I don't know. I didn't think so until you asked.
Michael B. Women be shopping, Michael B. Jordan.
I don't think it's racist because it's just an initial.
It's just an initial.
I think you're just making fun of an initial.
I think I'm just making fun of an initial.
Yeah.
I had an interesting old conversation with my guy this week about prejudice.
Okay, tell me more.
Because I'd
who do you hate?
Yeah, well, this is the thing.
Yeah,
because I talked about my concern given the work that I want to do in the world. And it feeling at odds with some personal prejudices that I hold when I see someone of a particular thing or whatever. There's just something in my brain that just goes, you know, and it's like it's ugly and it's not nice.
Yeah. You're human?
Yeah, turns out. We sort of gently like glided through this thing of like, in a very therapeutic kind of way, he was like, do you imagine, when you think about yourself, do you imagine other people don't have these prejudices, you know? And it's like, of course they do.
Okay.
And it's like, what we equated it to, or what I ended up getting to, was the same thing we've talked about before about intrusive thoughts, of it being, this is not necessarily what you think.
Yeah.
Because I know in my heart, that person that I'm looking at on screen in their whatever and going, for fuck's sake, why are they on my screen? If they were a real person in the real world that needed help from me or needed anything from me, I know 100% there's not a part of me that would be like, you know, oh, for fuck's sake, go away. Like, no, they get Mark in full barrels.
Sure.
But, you know, and so here I was sort of in another way, like monitoring myself, which is one of the words that sort of came up, is like this sort of backseat or driving instructor.
Yeah.
That's got the clipboard out and he's going, there's another violation. And it's like all the time, like there's a character flaw. There's a violation. Take that off. That's going to, you know, and it's like.
I think Ram Dass calls that the noticer.
Yeah. It's a bit more than, yeah. I wish, noticing is fine. Noticing is good. Noticing is healthy. It's like.
Exactly. That's what he's trying to promote, is like, let's reframe that critique into, oh, they're just noticing.
Isn't that interesting that was the reaction you had, rather than, you must be a piece of shit.
Oh, buddy.
You must be a person who behaves incongruently with what, you know, and is like,
you can just stop.
Maybe I just had an intrusive thought. Like, can we allow that?
Yeah, you can just stop that sentence at person. Yeah. Maybe you're a person.
Yeah. Well,
that's not good enough for me. That's how we're programmed to be.
I'm now thinking of, there's one of my favorite ever comedy scenes. It's from Fawlty Towers. And John Cleese as Basil Fawlty is dealing with a very difficult customer who is deaf, or she's hard of hearing, as John Cleese would say, and she refuses to turn her hearing aid on because it wears the battery down. And she's got a complaint about everything. Like, everything's rubbish.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, I asked for a room with a view. And he says, well, this is Torquay, madam. And she says, well, it's not good enough. And it's just the wonderful dismissive, like, this is, you know, and he's pointing out, gesturing out to the view and going, this is Torquay, madam. Torquay being a place. This is Torquay, madam. And she just dismissively goes, it's not good enough. And I just think about that sometimes of like, that's what the noticer is doing. It's constantly going, well, that's not good enough. Mm. You know. Meh. I'm very good at doing it for other people as well, but you know, like, I went on a whole tirade this morning about fucking industry stuff. Yes, go. Yes, you there.
your noticer also critiques others. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, I just mean I've got standards, and yeah. I hold the line fairly severely. Mm-hmm. For people, what I think should do better.
Yeah.
I'm pretty, and I think that's what used to get me in trouble at work, is things that maybe, I don't know, maybe it sounds like a humble brag or whatever, but like things that maybe came easily to me or came as standard to me weren't necessary. And I like, because they just felt like the default setting. When other people didn't get that, I became frustrated because I was like,
sure.
This is the price of admission. Like, this, right. this should be stuff that you know. And it's like, it's not.
Everybody has a super different life experience.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy how
it's
different.
It's kind of weird, isn't it?
It's kind of weird.
Yeah. Then, you know, and the gaps in people's knowledge and.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to be happier.
Mm.
That's not going well at the moment.
Oh, man. Why not? is that too big of a question?
No. It's like I interpreted that slightly differently. I'm like, why are you happy? It's like, no, you meant it like, you know.
No, that's your inner critic.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like,
no. Oh, it's more like, oh,
my mother's
why not?
Voice. Be happy. Be grateful. Dude. That's a bit mean.
I get it.
Yeah, you get it. I think, you know, there's a little bit of stress. There's a little bit of like, I've currently, like, you know, just too much month at the end of my money. Sure. And it's only the beginning of the month. Fuck. But yes, you know, trying to get paid is a thing. Mm-hmm. Working with Americans to try and get paid is also fucking nightmarish.
Yeah, good luck.
God, you hate sending money. I mean, you don't like sending money even in inside the United States. Yep. You really hate sending money outside of the United States. Fucking hell.
Nope, don't do anyway. It. Won't do it.
No.
Can't make me.
I shan't.
Can't make me.
Oh, God. But it'll all be... this is the thing. It will all be fine. I had to have an slightly awkward conversation today over email with a client that's like... They wanted me to do a particular thing that would be like, why don't you want to do this thing that's kind of an investment in your in your offering? And I'm like, because oh no, now I have to tell you, like, my offering's going to be going away. Like, I'm not going to be offering this offering anymore to other people. Mm-hmm. So like, I'm not really willing to make an investment. It's a weird limbo time at the moment. It's fine. I want Roscoe to be happier and healthier, and he's not as, like, second day in a row now. He's been sick, like, 10 minutes before feeding time.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Not, like, huge, you know, huge things, but, like, enough where I'm like, oh, I don't like this. And, like, for the last few years, I woke up a couple of nights ago just going, this is my karma for having two perfect cats. That I couldn't ask for anything more from them. So the price I have to pay is that I'm constantly worried about food, their food, and which one's getting enough, which one's not getting enough, and are they healthy and are they happy? Like, that's what I have to pay. That's my tax for basically having two perfect, wonderful cats that will hopefully, thankfully, never die.
I necessarily cosign, at least, that A equals B in this equation.
No, of course not.
Yeah.
It's a metaphor. Well, not a metaphor. It's not a metaphor. It's a... Yeah. It's analogous to something. But yes, it's... Sure. You know, nothing is ever perfect.
They can be perfect. They can be perfect without necessarily there being a cost to pay, let alone yours.
No, indeed. Yeah, it's you know, these two things are what they are. I have a beautiful angel that is to the left of me here, and then the rascal is in the other room, and they're both sleeping, and it's both wonderful.
Oh, precious.
Yeah. But I'm going to move them back onto the food that they used to be on. I think it will be simpler. There's a big yawn. I felt like it was kind of simpler back in the day. And then, like, I started giving them different food because I was like, this will make them happier. And it's like, actually, this has probably disrupted their shit.
Their life or their poop?
No, their life. Yeah, they've got their life. Yeah, their poop's fine. Thank goodness.
Yay. Happy poops.
Yeah, but you know, we have responsibilities for our animals.
Yeah. If we want cats, we gotta clean the box.
Yeah.
On Tuesday when we were going to record, both cats were in the bedroom with me, which never happens. And they were just curled up on the bed together. Well, not together. They like to get close, but not too close. Mm-hmm. Sebastian used to cuddle with a previous cat, Autumn, but Kumba doesn't. She doesn't like to cuddle. Mm. She doesn't understand cuddling, I think, and how great it is. She's only recently started to actually lay on Margaret's in my lap, which has been wonderful, but she's still so timid about it. She'll only do it if we have like a blanket or a pillow on us, and she'll lay on the blanket or pillow, not directly on us, our skin. Yep. Yep. And she's like at our knees, like away, as far away as possible, but still within reach so we can pet, but not grab. No grabbing. I might be taking ayahuasca in the relatively near future.
Well,
yeah, I don't know, but
you have the floor, sir.
My men's group coach has been partaking occasionally and has rave reviews of his experiences. And so I was curious. I was like, hey, he's like, oop. So I was curious. And I asked him, like, what, how does one also find that process?
Do you have a guy for the, does he have an ayahuasca guy?
Yeah. So there's he got me in contact with a person who, he gave my information to the person, and the person contacted me. And actually, I'm surprised it wasn't through Signal. It was just messages, which, all right. And because the legalities are questionable. But it is here.
It's not legal.
It is here in Oregon, which is really interesting. Yeah, they import it somehow.
Wow.
Yeah. And
your state is cool.
They have it's really great. They have a retreat center several hours south of us. And I'm going to learn. Actually, later today, I'm going to talk with them and find out pricing and scheduling and other things. And Margaret is also interested. And so we might make a weekend or week. I think it's kind of a week process out of it. And man, I'm pretty curious because I've...
The Dark and Shrub Epiphany 2.
The...
Mushroom Boogaloo.
Dark and Shrub Epiphany 2. I like it. Nice. Yeah. That was all one word to me when I heard it at first. I'm like, what?
Dark and Shrub Epiphany 2.
Did I already take the drugs? What the hell?
I'm sorry. What is the Dark and Shrub Epiphany 2?
Speaking of Dark and Shrub, that's coming up real quick. We're going visit number two pretty soon on that, which I will be doing some mushrooms in a bathtub in the middle of nature. And Cameron's DJing a couple different sets, and I'm printing out little business card sized flyers to hand out to all the neighbors in the campsite to be like, hey, here are the set times. If you want to come and join us, we're doing dance parties, BYOB. See you there.
Nice.
I'm pretty excited about that. Testing my, pushing my extroversion muscles a little bit more. Trying to, I even spoke with my neighbors the other day, which was some new people moved in, and I was like, hey, mm-hmm. I would like to be neighborly, so
yeah,
if you do too, like, mm-hmm. that'd be cool.
There's more, but if you don't want up, that's fine.
Yeah, I'm not gonna push it, but you want to come over for dinner sometime, like, let's do it.
Nice.
So yeah, I don't have too much about the ayahuasca stuff yet, but I'm curious. It's on the table.
Ayahuasca's on the table.
It's a thing. Mm. Yeah, I was pretty ambivalent about it before this time last year when I read Breaking Open the Head while taking mushrooms, and he goes through his experience of doing ayahuasca a couple times. And yeah, it sounds pretty freaking fascinating.
Mm. Your combination of words there just made me briefly flash back to a little video I saw this week about writing and how to write in the active voice using the by zombies rule.
Okay.
So if you say, if I say, my heart was broken.
Yeah.
If you can add the phrase by zombies at the end of it and it still makes sense, then your phrasing is too passive. But if I were to say, Bailey, my cat, Bailey broke my heart, that's more active, because saying Bailey broke my heart by zombies wouldn't make sense. And so
Bailey,
it's much
used
more active.
Zombies to break your heart.
Yes.
By zombies. All right.
Yeah, you know, the diamonds were stolen. A gun was aimed. You know, a gun was shot. You know, a gun was shot by zombies. That works. It's too passive.
Yeah.
Jacob shot the gun. You know, boom. Like, now we know who did the thinging. And I just thought, that's a neat little rule.
That is. By zombies, I think you've got it.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, as always, run away from zombies because they'll bite you. And correct me if I'm wrong.
Go Hawks! Did you say, sorry, actually, I thought I heard what you said, but I'm not, I might have.
What did you hear me say?
I thought you said, you're human.
Yes, that's
correct. Okay, yes. Good. Sorry. I didn't want to assume, you're human? Just in case you actually said something else. Like, and I'm just like, yeah. Like,
oh, you're a piece of butter? Oh, yeah.
You're a piece of shit?
I said butter. Butter's fantastic.